How are you doing today? This is Patricia Cleveland at Esologic Radio, and I'm welcoming you to our show. Words. Words can be used like colors. They paint pictures. They create emotions. They hide lies. They reshape your reality. They offer you a potential of unlimited resources. And how we use these words, are we aware of their impact? Do they really have an importance? Language, the mystery of it all. Language has brought me some pretty interesting emails, and some of them I'd like to address. And so I'm just going to read you one from a wonderful writer. Her name is Joan. And she wanted me to share more about the third law of motion, which comes from physics. Sir Isaac Newton's third law that says everything has an equal and opposite reaction. She wants to know how to use this dynamic in her everyday life to support her decisions and maybe to help create the things she needs, the wealth of life, a project, maybe how to become feeling whole. Oh, yes, it's all like magic. Words. You know, we are shaped by the words we listen to. We're shaped by the words of the news. Remember, we had Al Gore produce a wonderful movie and a series of words and then a movement that said, hey, pay attention, there's global warming going on. And then he made it into an anti-oil statement. And whether there's money behind it or political agenda doesn't really matter. It's the fact that he used words to create a global emotional state. And after he's done all that, he created a reality for us to believe in using words. Global warming means that you shouldn't drive your car if it burns gas, and you shouldn't cut down the trees because of the hydrocarbons, or your spray can shouldn't be used. And so he creates a reality that we walk through every day. And the backside of the reality hides the fact that it's really not about your car or you, whether you charcoal your steak or use hairspray or not. It's the fact that they're hiding an agenda. The words shaped a magical spell. A thing for us to believe in. But the wizard that creates the magical spell isn't telling us that, gee whiz, the agenda, the outcome, is not so much about the global warming based on greenhouse gases, but the agenda is to create a new economic environment. Carbon taxes and credits. And yet, after all the magic has been woven, we have Mr. Gore, who owns a TV network called The Current. And he's not a poor man. So if it was a business deal, I think he could have chose clearer. Because when he sold his TV network, he sold it to Al Jazeera, and it's nothing to do about the Muslim world or the Arab belief or anything else. The bottom line is that this man created a spell over the earth based on the fact that oil is bad. Shouldn't have oil. And he turns around and he sells his network to an oil-producing company, country, not a corporation, but a government that bases its product of oil as its major gross national product. So Mr. Gore sold his TV network to the country of Qatar. And in a way, he's broken the spell. He's made money from people that produce oil. The exact opposite of what he's been telling us to do. Words create realities. And sometimes it's not all that great to believe in somebody else's reality. It's fine to listen to their words. I keep running into conflicts with words. You see, I work as a person that helps animals to rebirth or to regenerate. And, you know, I talk to people who are very educated, and I have to choose my words carefully, because when I don't, they think that I'm some kind of whack job. How dare I suggest that we can use rebirthing and energy and the cellular memory of the DNA to untwist the crooked bodies we all arrive in? How dare I suggest that we could eliminate a lot of emotional pain, a lot of physical pain, that we wouldn't have to use at least a third of the resources we currently use to feed animals and most probably the human race? If we would straighten out our bodies, not as one piece at a time, like fixing a car. If we took the whole car and just made it right in an instant, the power that is held within our bodies, our cells, surpass any written description I can find. And so when I try to put my message across, I work very well with people who are intuitive, energy sensitive, because the reality is there are no words to explain what I do. It's the sensation. It's the standing still and holding yourself in that moment and being in the presence of allow and offer the opportunity to the animal or the person that's about to receive the gift of their own awareness. Yes. The regenerative process of the body has been well known, but it's been draped in words, smothered, and we're told, oh, that's a fantasy. It can't possibly be real. But what if it is? You know, I started all this a long time ago after reading the book, The Body Electric. And it's the story of the research done by Dr. Robert Becker. And I ran across a chapter. It's called The Lazarus Heart. And in there, they're talking about how they take and pull the blood for doing testing on regeneration of the body from these little green newts. And the newts are so small that the only way that they could actually get blood samples was to take the newt and anesthetize him and cut him in half, open up his chest, and take a pipette, cut into his heart, and pull the several drops of blood out of his heart. And the very cruel part of this is that they would then throw the carcasses away. Well, Dr. Becker had an assistant. Her name was Sharon. And she was left in charge to find out how to get the blood sample or keep the blood supply really current. So every week they would take and basically sacrifice three newts. And she came to Dr. Becker and she asked, what would happen if we just sewed them back together again? And in his world of words, his wisdom, covered in the magic spells, He said, well, they might live for a day or two, but in the book here, it says they will die. They can't regenerate fast enough, and they will die. So Sharon goes back to her desk and continues to do her job of sacrificing 3 newts a week. But her heart told her to do something else. Her instinct, her energetic knowing, told her to sew the newts back together again. And so after a week, she brings a dish of 3 newts that were suspended in water. And guess what happened? Well, there was a surprise. Oh, I think I need to just stop here. Stay tuned. This is Isologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. Just say, it rattles down into your throat, goes down into your heart, and lets you know that you're here, you're alive. Just sinking into a warm tub of water, or having the most delicious meal you've ever had. Just let you know that you're comforted, you're here, it's safe, you're whole. Energy. Energy is swarming with intent. It doesn't know where to apply itself. And when you go, and you can find a place to sit still, it helps you to focus and pull in and maybe not listen to the words, but to listen to your heart, to listen to that place of compassion. To be still. And when you can go into this little place that we all have, it opens up the opportunity for miracles to occur. And miracles occur every day, we just don't know it. We don't pay attention. We take a lot for granted. So the miracle that started me on my path to form the Balanced Horse Project, and to understand how we can untwine the birth traumas that lock the energy being, the soul, into the frame of the physical world. When I started to do my research, I ran across this wonderful little chapter. It's called Lazarus' Heart. And I was talking about how they had been using the blood from the green newts, and using them in the experimentation on understanding why reptiles can regenerate a limb or a tail. And the researcher, Sharon, she had to basically kill the newts to get enough blood. And she decided to try something that's written word, the magic spell of medicine, the magic spell of science, said was impossible to do. And so she sewed up these poor little newts and brought them back to her professor the next week. And she said, do you think they look very healthy? Do you think they're healthy enough to use again? And Dr. Becker looked at her and looked at the newts. And he was like, what do you mean? And Sharon said, these are the same 3 newts that we used last week. Score 1 for the open mind. So this person, in a very controlled environment, used her instinct. She followed her gut. She put together the cut open hearts. And she sewed back the bellies of the cut open animal. And maybe she believed in it. Maybe she just instinctively knew. But she was able to demonstrate that the body of a reptile not only can grow a new limb or a new tail, but it can completely regenerate a huge wound to the heart because somebody gave it a chance. You see, if you don't say no and you don't have negative thoughts, then you open yourself up to a world of potential. In my world, I run across people that are very, very programmed. Oh, what you're talking about is unreal. You live in a fantasy world. And then I say, well, okay, well, let's just look at the very things that you believe in. If you believe in your science, and your science has given you your basically 10 commandments, you have the laws of motion, you have the laws of thermodynamics, you have all these new theories and laws that are scientifically validated from quantum physics, and you understand that they work. But somehow we only think that they work in the world of science. It's only the smart person who's read a particular book that knows that the Ten Commandments of science work. And they only work in the lab. Or they only work to produce something that you can go and buy in the store. But what if those laws work every day? And they're shaped and directed by the intent that we use when we express our thoughts with words. A long time ago, I felt totally defeated. Here I am, an energetically aware person, trying to do preventative care so that my animals and maybe your animal would have a better quality of life. And before I know it, I'm in trouble. For some reason, I'm breaking the law. I'm breaking the chain of a spell, the written word, the law. And when I sat down with a lawyer, he looked at me quite firmly and he said, "You know, that's exactly what you're doing. You are breaking the law." And I went, "Excuse me, what law am I breaking? If all I am doing is touching an animal with my hand, please explain to me, what is the law?" And his words shattered me. It was like a person who is so sensitive that they can feel the other person's heartbeat getting clubbed to death by a black, oozy mass. It shattered me. It pulled away all the foundations of who I was. And for that moment, I believed in something outside of myself. I had to believe in the law. Well, the law is nothing but a series of magician's words. It shapes and sculpts the framework for social growth, economic growth. It shapes the world of how we heal, how we think, how we learn. What would we do if there was no law? Actually, what will we do if there were no words? The Ten Commandments of science, would they be the same? Would they be constant? No. No. Because when you take words away and you work on intent and feeling, you start to understand that the world moves and is shaped completely different from the way humans, us, have been programmed to perceive it. The interesting thing when I work is you can watch your animal change, not over a month, but in a lot of cases you can see your animal's body change within 5 minutes of me working on it. It's very, very deep, and it's very, very intense, and it's all based on science. But it's not based on science that stands still. It's not based on words that hold solid meaning. Because in the world of energy, things are shaped and redesigned according to our emotional state and the things we believe and our desire. What is it that we need, what we desire, and how our desire meets and fits into a network of other people's, or maybe higher people's, dream of what the human being should be. The magic of words limits who we are. So, are you ready? We're going to take a break, and I'll be back. You're listening to Isologic Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. We're talking about the magic spell of words and how it shapes our world. How it tells us, you can't challenge that thought. This is the way it is. It's absolute fact. A rock is a rock. Don't argue it. But I will argue it. A rock is only a rock when it holds the shape of the rock. Inside the rock is thousands and thousands of years of memory and locked in sunlight and energy from all kinds of resources. And when you take the rock and you shatter it and you make it into powder, is it the rock? Is it powder that can be then put into, mixed with other powder to make you cement? And can an ugly gray rock be transformed into something beautiful? Absolutely. And so the things that we think are real, that are solid, fixed, permanent, well, if you choose in your reality to keep them that way, that's exactly what they are. So in that type of reality, the three salamanders that were stitched together should never have lived, according to the word written in the book. And if you stay in a fixed reality, if you're always thinking about, oh, the other guy's opinion, or, oh, I am so in control of myself. When you lock yourself into fixed positions, then you can only gain the benefit in that little box, that little cell of information that you just became. And what if you use no words? Or why don't we use different words? You see, when we look at how we write our language right now, in every country, it's adverb, verb, adverb. So it holds no solidity in time. Our language is either in the past tense, in the future, or in what we call the present tense, but is never written with the intent of
infinity, the infinite ability to fit through all situations, through all positions of time, through all life experiences. If we would change our understanding of language so that we could talk to each other the way the animals speak. See, animals don't use words. They use pictures and telepathy and maybe gestures. And in their expression, there is no time. It just is. And that just is lasts through the whole dimension of their existence. And that is why it's so easy for me to work with animals. Because, you see, they don't really understand or choose to apply the idea that I was born 7 years ago. No, that's not how an animal sees his life. The animal feels that he is just as young and just as perfectly formed as he was at the point, not of birth, but the point of his conception. So when an animal sees himself being born, it's not the emergence from his mother's womb. It's his arrival, that spark of life that pulls him into taking shape. And from that point, life is a series of adventures, but they all, in his mind's eye, in his expression, happen at that very beginning point. That's where he holds his reality. So sure, he may have a bad day with some human that's stuck in an angry world that he can't control, and so the human's overflow of rage may have to come out and be expressed on the dog or the cat or the horse or the cow. But it doesn't really stay there. In the animal's world of magic, without the word, the pain of our anger may leave an imprint. It may leave a physical scar. But that wound will only be reopened in the animal's psyche if the animal is re-exposed to the anger. If the person says, the new owner of, say, the horse says, oh yeah, this horse is a survivor of great abuse. And immediately that picture, that film, that's locked in the animal's cellular memory, starts to play itself back again. And so that triggers a physical, emotional reaction that is reflected back to the human being who has to be the savior, the white knight, the rescuer, the ultimate healer, the person who goes out and does good things. Words paint pictures. They create magic. In my world, words like equal and opposite actually open the door to a whole world of potential. You see, in new science, in the quantum physics that we all enjoy reading about, they are learning that a lot of the old writings, the Hermetic writings on the Emerald Tablet, some of the laws of Sir Isaac Newton, some of the ideas that healers have been working with for centuries aren't so old and aren't so far-fetched. You see, in science, they talk about measuring. Well, really, we can measure heat, but can we measure something that's cold? No. We can only measure the absence of heat. And this is really important because, you know, when your body's warm, you're full of life. And as you lose energy in your body, your circulation slows down and you start to get cold. And when you're no longer in the body is really cold. So with the absence of heat, we have an indication that life no longer holds that space. And in quantum physics, they've learned a way to take and cool down particles. Now, in my age of science, absolute cold was like 250 degrees Kelvin. So now that's about 475 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. So when they can cool these particles colder than what I was told was an absolute truth, and they break my reality by saying, we can make the particles go even colder. They can take these particles and make them so cold they stop vibrating. And when that happens, they line up and kind of clump together, because now, in that time frame, it's still. Take a breath. Say, Remember, you're listening to Esologic Radio, and I'll be back in a minute. The sound actually paints a magical spell in your heart. This is Esologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. And if you like what you're hearing, drop me a line. You can get a hold of me at esologicradio@gmail.com. Oh, I'm experimenting with the world of words, because you see, we think they make things fixed, solid, permanent. It's just the way it is. Everything I learned in school must be a fact. Everything that I have experienced so far in life determines that this is reality. Okay. So, in my world, going to school, reality in science was you couldn't make anything colder than -250 degrees Kelvin. Now, I'm reading science that says, well, we can make it like a million times colder than that. And what happens is, instead of things coming colder and colder and colder, they get to a certain point where they stop getting colder. And the little particles stop shivering. They stop vibrating. And they clump together and they make a straight line. And when they do that, guess what happens? We just made a new shift in our reality. We just move into a new paradigm. Because when they get to a certain point, they are no longer cold. And life comes back into these super frozen particles. And instead of making cold things, it starts to produce heat. So how does that happen? If you take something to its extreme, it turns around and does the exact opposite thing. So that breaks the reality that we all believe in. We believe that everything that we do, think, and touch forms into a shape, and this is the way life is. Now we have provings that say, no, this is not the way life is. It's only the way you choose to see it. So if I choose to believe that I can lay my hands around an animal and trace patterns of energy from my fingers, and I believe that with the animal's permission and given the right surroundings, I can do something totally opposite to what everybody and everything written down believes. Well, then, I'm just fitting right into the third law of motion, which says, For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, the science really didn't mean it to be applied in philosophy or everyday life, which I think is a fool's game right there. Science is science and nature is nature. And if she gives you guidelines, use them in your everyday life. Yes. So I'm able to be the opposite reaction to what everybody else in society believes. So if you believe that I can't do something, and I sit in a place and I discharge your belief from my energy field, and I believe that I can do something, and I go out and do it, what does that do? That changes our reality. It offers us a new way of thinking. It says, hey, you all put the energy into the negative belief. You say, because I don't fit your system, I really don't have the right to exist in your system. And I say, okay, I'll accept that I don't fit in your system. I accept that my thoughts don't accept your reality. And so I'm going over here to create my own. And that opens up everybody's opportunity to use not the written word, but your imagination. Because you see, you can measure things in empirical science, and you can describe things in the written word. But how do you capture imagination? How do you use your thought? Where does your thought come from? And is your thought based on the written word? Is it there to conform to the law? Or is your thought capable of reshaping the law? Maybe it's the law of life. It's whatever you choose to apply it to. You see, when they write things down and they make it law, like the third law of motion, they don't understand what paradigm, what level of life we're working with. You see, there's the physical. I can touch it. I can see it. I can taste it. I can smell it. Yeah? And then there's the historical side of law, where we know we went out and we did something, and at that moment in time, that point of history, this was the reaction. And then we have this projection part that says, well, we know if we write all this down and we make it structured, that this is the way everybody's going to act. So from having something standardized, we can project the future. We can control what happens. But then there's a part that we always seem to forget about. Because we always think that we're in control of our world. We know exactly what we're doing with our animals. We believe that the veterinary care system that we work with is absolutely the best thing going. And then somebody like me comes along and says, well, you know what you can do without any drugs? Do you know what you can do without any operations? Here it is. It's as simple as this. But it won't work if you don't change the way you think. I offer the way to use your imagination, to create and use your energy to form and shape the positive things, the impossible results that you're taught to believe in, and turn around and make them true. Yes, words are magic. The law is a magic spell that's been blanketing the earth for over 8,500 years. And maybe the law, whatever one it is, has the hidden agenda to disempower the strength and the purity of who you are. You see, all you need to do is sit down and do a meditation. And instead of seeing yourself as a rod of energy, or tap into pure love, or to be afraid of the dark. To understand that we were created as creators in a world full of unlimited energy, unlimited and empowering potential. And somebody said, hey, we can't have the population understanding what their potential is. So let's put them under a magic spell. And let's give them things to believe in. And let's use this thing called the word to make it permanent and solid. Because you see, the magicians that control what we think and do know that there is no such thing as permanence. There is no such thing as a solid. What you see as solid is made up of gazillions and trillions of smaller pieces, and it goes into infinity, and it never ends. And have you ever thought that maybe when we're one of those smaller pieces? And what is our role in something that's bigger? Something that we can't define because it's so big that we can't, in our mind's eye, picture it. We play a role. And I think somewhere along the line, the way we think and how we use our energetic potential to improve the quality of our environment, our animals, and who we are, has been sabotaged. Has been, had some black magic applied. Yes, because you see, there's very few thinkers left in the world who are free enough to express their thoughts and to say to you, sit down and stop thinking. Take a breath. I'll be back in a minute. This is Isologic Radio. It's a twisted place we live. There is so much hidden knowledge. If you would stop and just be open to watching nature and maybe going back and looking at all the things we were taught in school and say, hey, well, why is that law a permanent thing? Why are we only told to believe in what the authorities tell us to believe in? It's pretty scary when you think about how blindly led we are. Take a moment and liberate yourself. Think what you want. Be what you want. And yes, you have to go to work and you have to conform and make the almighty buck. But in your own time, change your reality. And if you need help for things, don't just sit back and go, oh, I'm scared I'm going to lose my house or I don't have a job. Well, that's because you're buying into somebody else's words. And really, if you go online and check out a guy, let's see, what's his name? I believe his name is David Wynn, that's W-Y-N-N, Miller. You can find him on YouTube. And if you're having legal problems, sit down and listen to what this gentleman has to say. Because he's a wizard. He's a wizard of language. And in his wisdom, he has told us what to do. I think we have a caller. So I think James is his name. And if you want to come on. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good myself. I kudos to you for helping people to explore, to think outside the box, and to be truly free thinkers.
Well, thank you. Did you have a question today?
Yeah. What is your expertise exactly? I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about what your expertise is.
In my expertise, I started off as a very simple person. My background is in animals, animal behavior. I started off training horses a long time ago. And I understood that within the system there was a lot of problems, and we couldn't fix the problems of these horses using our traditional medicines. And that took me out of the box, and I learned about holistic care systems like homeopathy and essential oil. And then one day I was introduced to a gentleman who was under contract by some black ops through the U.S. government, and he worked in different frequencies of light and how it could regenerate or destroy the body. And from there, I took his experience, and I have done a lot of investigation into quantum mechanics. I have also looked at ancient scriptures, primitive primary cultures and belief systems, and I have done a lot of personal work to open up gateways that allow me to basically understand the dynamics, which I think a lot of people have the opportunity to see it if they would give themselves permission. So from there, I started a project called the Balanced Horse Project. And we have done work here for 15 years in regenerating animals who have come out of the veterinary care system, not feeling well or as failures. And we have used the power of frequency, earth harmonics, human intent, and the improved conductive value of the body to spark the soul's ability to reshape the electromagnetic field around the body and to go in and open up the patterns of DNA that's held in the cellular structure. So it cross-references with quantum physics, and it gets into electromagnetic fields. It cross-references to new sciences such as epigenetics. I think there's an author out there, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's written several books about how our emotional state and our environment have a direct role in how our bodies form, interact, and regenerate. Now, he did it in a lab with cells. And so I've read a lot of different theories, and instead of just working in a laboratory, I chose to apply it to animals. My ultimate goal is to have the ability to produce food-producing animals that are totally drug-free, that don't require feeder grain. Because you see, in the world, 35% of all grain that we produce is fed to animals before they go to slaughter. Well, what if you didn't have to use those food resources and you could feed more people? There would be no such thing as world starvation. So it's a state of mind.
I hope you're against GMOs.
GMOs are non-conductive. They are the primary source for the modern decline of the human species and also all of our animals. GMOs do not, we need alkalining minerals like copper and zinc and magnesium. There's a list of them. And you see, when they make GMO foods, they don't put in the minerals that carry the positive electrical charge for our body. And so when we are shown or we eat genetically modified food, we're basically not putting the right minerals into the electrical system of the body. And it causes a cascading effect that shuts us down and makes us sick. And so,
yeah, electrolytes are electrolytes are very important. So our energy, keeping the proper energy field, that's correct.
Yeah. So the foundation that I work from is if you increase the value, your conductive value of your body, and you pull in your intent, and you create a harmonic environment, there's nothing stopping your potential. I'm a product of what I believe in. So I think I have to take a break here. And thank you so much for your call, James.
Thank you.
And I'll be back in a few minutes. Nice. Thanks, James. You see, I don't know what people are interested in hearing. But you see, when we look at science, they give us all these laws and they say, oh, well, equal and opposite, we've addressed that. In the writings of Hermes, he goes as above, so below, and keeps on in his writings with as within, so without. And then in quantum physics, we're now talking about lining everything up. So we have all kinds of different laws that are taking shape in our reality. And it's interesting. It doesn't matter which law you work with. You're working with energy. I believe in my own experience that the dualistic force that we all experience, the right and the wrong, the dark, the light, the male, the female, those are diversions. But you see, if we are conductors of energy, we actually hold the power to focus on either the good or the bad, or pull the two together. And then in that moment, when we can hold ourselves between two different types of energy, say positive and negative, we can pull what we would like from, say, the positive and a little bit from the negative to create the things that we need. Because you see, if you hold the place of compassion, that's human neutral. In human neutral, between two opposing charges, we can create the most amazing opportunities. And that's the gift that we were created with. And it only happens with human beings, because I believe we stand upright for a reason. Our animals do not. And so our animals' dynamics, our animals' energy systems, don't have the ability to divide heaven from earth or right from wrong. They just go through life. But we were given a consciousness that defines our place. So when you question yourself, be careful. Ask who's questioning. Because if it's a question that comes from outside of who you are, it's going to change your inner dimension. It's going to alter the reality that you are interacting in. There's a lot here. I could go on for hours. Equal and opposite could actually mean not equal and opposite, but just on a different level of energy understanding. from one dimension to the other. A mirrored image of you standing and looking in the lake. And you see yourself. Now that's an opposite image. It's an upside down image. But if you could take that image and fold it back up into yourself, you would be folding another dimension of energy. You would be pulling yourself into a new realm, a way of being, a new way of thinking. So when you have your animal in your lap and you stroke his head, just think about pulling all the little parts, the little pieces, all the joy that he just spent with you playing in the park. Ask that energy to come back into your animal. Ask him to fill up and be full with all the energy that he has spent making love and unconditional events happen in your life. Ask it to come back into him. And in that moment, ask him to use that energy to change the things that block his ability to stay well. Ask him to let go of his anger. There are people that are not aware of how angry their animals are. In my backyard right now, I have a horse who is so angry at human beings that he looks down upon me when I bring his food. There's no joy in his heart. It was taken away. He's so angry that one day I put out what they call a round bale. It's about 1,200 pounds of hay. And that horse, after I went and did some energy work with him, couldn't accept what I offered. And just like an angry child beating up on a pillow, he went outside and he took his front hooves and he struck at the bale and he shattered it and he pulled it apart and he spread it across the yard. That's anger. And in one horse, with one expression of that much pent-up anger at the ignorance and the lack of consideration from the intellectual human being, just one animal is that angry at us because we don't see who they are. We make them into what we want them to be. Take a minute and think about the words you use when you're around your pet. Talk to him as an equal, not as a baby and not as a child. Because you see, they understand us better than we understand ourselves. My goal with this horse is to make him smile and to give him the unconditional love that obviously he's had taken away. See, I don't think he's a permanent wreck. I just think he needs an opportunity to have his voice. And now that he's shown me his reality, I can say to him on an energetic level that I see you. And I can not say my words, but think my pictures of what I would like my relationship to be. And when the time is right, I will bring him into the barn and I will say, that anger that you don't know where it came from or what to do with it will become your greatest gift. And from that point, I will wrap his anger in compassion and hand it back to him and ask him to go back into his time and take his anger with him. And as he retraces his memory through his cells, through the magic of what I can give to him in my barn, that anger will be neutralized. When he passes the point in his life where that anger was imprinted into his soul, as I rebirth his memory to the point of his conception, that animal will no longer be angry. It will melt back through time. It will go back to its owner, or back to the place where that anger came from. And it will make this animal breathe and be at comfort and at peace. And as this happens, his physical body will take on a new shape. He will become stronger, and he will become straighter. And he will require less care. And he will be happier to share his body and experience with the people in his life. It's an amazing trip that I'm on. And I hope that anybody who's listening, if you would like to learn more, don't even hesitate to write me an email at esologicradio@gmail.com. There's so much I would like to say. There are so many opportunities out there that have been gained from the research that we've been doing here. And I'm only one small voice out in the universe saying, hey, turn around and look at what your government says and does. Look at what your doctor says and does. And hold in your heart the truth of who you are. And don't be afraid. Take your own steps and honor life. Till next time, this is Patricia Cleveland at Esologic Radio. Bye for now. Having a good day? Yeah, I'm having a great one. I like sitting around a nice warm fire. It just perks me up. You see, I can get stuck in my head and think too much, and then I'm not sure because somehow my mind wanders, and I think I get hacked, just like a computer. Some days there are words that go through my mind, and I'm like, who the heck is this? Yes, sometimes we get hacked. Sometimes we run low on energy, and when that happens, maybe depression or not so good thoughts come through. It's an amazing world we live in. It's full of manipulations. Oh, yeah. And I don't know whether some of them are spiritual manipulations or if they're man-made. Right now, I tend to think a lot of them are man-made. I've lost confidence in a lot of the things that I used to believe in. And that's a hard place to be, because if you don't have a foundation, how do you know what to believe in, what's true, and what's not? I just follow what my animals suggest is right, because, you see, they've been around a lot longer than I. Even though they have a shorter lifespan, their history, their knowledge of nature and the way the world works is a lot more intricate than mine. When I sit still, I listen to myself think. There are days I'll go, you are the most empowered person. Not even a person. I'm a conglomerate of nothing but the most amazing organisms that came into agreement to say, hey, we're going to put together this being. She's going to have this great house to live in, and her name is going to be Patricia Cleveland. And she's going to have an adventure. Her life is going to be not like anything else. And as long as I listen to my inner self, those little voices that all came to say, hey, we made room for you in this body. If I listen to them, 9 times out of 10, I'm not wrong. And then there are days where I sit by the fire and I just kind of relax. And before I know it, I'm tired. see you running a farm and training horses and traveling and speaking with people and trying to write a book and sharing my thoughts through the radio. It takes a lot. And sometimes I'm just tired. And I sit down and there'll be a negative thought. Oh, maybe that person's doing it because of this agenda. Or, you know, you really messed up. You did a stupid thing. Or, hey, maybe you're just not good enough. All of these thoughts, where do they come from? I find that those thoughts come through my body when I am tired and when I don't make room for myself, when I don't honor who I am. If I listen to TV, oh my gosh, wow, that's a huge energy drain. I just really think that people need to wake up. But if you're addicted to the TV, it becomes a drug. Food becomes a drug. Did you know food is a drug? I like food. It's not that I'm fat or anything else, but I just like food. I was on the internet, and I discovered something really interesting. It shattered my whole expectation of what's real. And then I came back and thought about it a while. I said, you know, people have been doing religious fasts for centuries. And I do fast my dogs. I fast my dogs once every week, you see. I feed them raw food and bones. And sometimes I think it's good for their digestive tract to just kind of slow down, clean itself out. So people have been fasting for a long time, too. And so I thought, well, I'll look into this. And I did. So, for those who are out there and following the show, this is my 20th day of fasting. I have had no food for 20 days. I'm living on a juice that I make up. Why am I doing this? Well, I just find that when I am not clear, it's usually because something else is getting into my body. It's slowing down how it resonates with what I believe is my source, my energy field, my environment. It stops me from holding positive thoughts. And if I'm not holding positive thoughts, then I'm becoming manipulated by something else. And I don't have time to be manipulated by something else. So what have I done? I stepped away from food, and I said, hey, if people can do a fast, a religious fast from sundown to, or say, sunrise to sunset, or the yogis could do fasts, not for like a day or two, but their whole lives, why can't I? So I can tell you my journey on this fast has been amazing. I first 3 days, of course, my body's going to scream and yell, just like a drug addict going, hey, guess what? You're not going to feel good unless you do something to put us back into the reality that you have to eat food. But I didn't go back. I just said, suck it up. Have a drink of this juice and you'll be fine. And then I sat in meditation and I held myself really still and said, well, if I'm not going to use my stomach to digest food, maybe I'll use my lungs. And I'll fill myself up with air. And with each breath, I'm going to pretend I'm taking in the nutrients of, let's say, a steak or a salad or a baked potato. How about watermelon? Yes. So I take 15 minutes every day. And I thank myself for who I am. And then I breathe in deep. And I can actually smell the food I'm breathing into my gas stomachs, my lungs. And I fill up with my food every day. And after those first 3 days, my energy level went up through the roof. As an energetic healer and a sensitive, right now is not the time to get me upset. because I think I could throw sparks off my fingers. Right now, I'm really clear. I don't have the pollutants from the food that comes from the grocery store. No. They're clearing from my body. My dog looks at me and goes, "Hey, this is really messed up, man, because you're not in the kitchen and you make the most amazing goat masala. And I really like the goat part and the masala. So, like, could you go in and cook something? Because I would like some of that put on top of my dog food." And I look at her and say, "You know, what's good for me is good for you." And so she's just on her regular dried meat diet with some vitamins added. And so her energy level has gone up. It makes you wonder, really, what's in our food and how it psychologically influences who we are. And how, if it's supposed to be full of all these nutrients, okay, and we're supposed to be electromagnetic beings, structures, why is it the more we eat, the slower we feel, the more depressed some of us are becoming, and the sicker as a population, at least in the United States, we have become? And you see, I really don't believe in medicine in the format that it currently is in. And so, for me, medicine, unless it is based on energy, holds no value to my body. Because you see, I see my body as being completely energy. And the only thing that makes it real, makes it solid, is the fact that the light that I'm made out of, the particles, have actually slowed down slow enough to kind of come into an electromagnetic frame that says, hey, you can touch, feel, see, and have sense. But in my mind's eye, I have an awareness, and maybe it's just who I am. But I know that the animals have the exact same awareness. They're aware of the shifts in the electromagnetic fields around their body. They can see things that live in other dimensions. We call them ghosts. They know when the earth is about to have a shift. They know, they feel, they sense the harmonic change in the body of the earth. Do you? Do you understand that everybody's upset about all these smart meters that put on our power boxes and all the radiation that's getting shoved into your house? And here's the manipulation. Do you know that the smartphone that you hold in your hand right now transmits and receives as much money or energy as what's coming out of that smart box for the electrical company? So, think about it. What is the game, and why are we being fooled? I'm going to take a break here, and I'll be back in a minute. This is Patricia Cleveland, and you're listening to Esologic Radio. Yes, realities. As I go through this whole transition in my life, it's nice, well, to lose weight and feel like I'm 15 years younger. Yeah. And the other interesting thing is, as I eliminate this process of eating, that my body is becoming healthier. And it's getting rid of any kind of toxins or poisons. You see, I've had a tooth that's had an abscess. And I haven't really gone to the dentist because I've lost confidence in them too. And I've been using a little generator, a frequency box called a zapper. And just by introducing this microscopic surge of energy into my field, what it has done is it's gone in and it neutralizes the infection around that tooth. And so I can deal with the infection without having to use drugs. But as I've been fasting, I put turmeric in my drink. And what I've noticed is not only that little infection in my tooth has gone, but the aches and pains in my muscles have disappeared. And you know, when you can function on 3 or 4 hours sleep and wake up more energized than you have ever been, it makes me wonder who told us we had to eat food. And as I delve into this and go even further, I start to understand that yes, the yogis have been doing this for a very long time. And there are people out there in the world, and I'm not saying that this is for you or for me or for my cousin Joe, but this is a reality that some people have created. And look up breatharianism, and you will find it. It'll be in the internet. You can find it in the library. You can find it on YouTube. People, apparently, to my limited Western knowledge, have been living without food for centuries. Now, that's kind of a little freaky, don't you think? Because we're told we have to eat food to survive. And yet here are people who deliberately program their bodies, mind over matter, and then reaching up to a higher knowing of who they are to make sure that their kidneys don't get damaged and that their hearts get enough protein from the air that they breathe in. As you see, protein is oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and one other, carbon. Okay, that's your protein. So that's in the air you breathe. And these people do what I did. They sit down and they breathe. And they focus on love and eternity and infinity. And they pull the power, the energy that's needed to drive the body from the surrounding environment. Kind of like a fish breathing in water to create oxygen. It's a pretty amazing thought. And so if we all taught to believe in a reality that says, oh, well, this is the way it is. You got to go and have food. You've got to eat. And you can only eat certain foods because now if you turn on the TV, I do it maybe once a week just to make sure nobody's blown anybody up, okay? But you turn on TV and you look what the ads are. It's very interesting. First of all, you'll have a food advertised to you. And then you'll have maybe an exercise program advertised to you. Or you'll have, at least in our local TV stations, some of the most awful drugs. I don't know how people consider taking them other than it is a magic spell that you're put in a position of dependency and fear takes over and the doctor maybe says a magic word that triggers the fear and the guilt that you haven't gotten rid of within who you are. But there's all this drug stuff and the side effects. Have you listened to some of these things? And then, at least on the local TV, you'll have a lawyer talking about lawsuits for the medical system, and then you have another guy talking about your funeral arrangements. So if that's not some subliminal programming done on a massive scale to lock you into a system of belief that you are what you eat and therefore you will die, which is the truth, it kind of limits you and it puts you in a very limited way of thinking. So even if you do it for a day, try shifting your reality. Now, I told my parents I hadn't eaten in 20 days. And my parents are like good meat and potato people. They're like, what? 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 I went, yep, I haven't eaten in 20 days. Well, don't you feel sick? Aren't you tired? No. And actually what it's done is it's made my mind extremely sharp and very clear. And in another area, it's pulled towards me massive amount of unexpected opportunity. And instead of having to sit down and meditate and say, okay, I'm going to pull in this energy. I'm going to run myself as neutral. And I'm going to pull in the extreme negative and the extreme positive to create that creative point, that PowerPoint of wow. Here's a charge of energy that I could shape and make into something that I would like in my life. Instead of having to do that, I'm down to waking up and saying thank you for my breath. And I've taken on an old tradition, Native American custom, where I honor the grandfathers. That would be the grandfather of the West, the grandfather of the North, grandfather of the East, the grandfather of the South, the grandfather and grandmother of the Earth, and the Wetanka, the grandfather of all universe. And that's basically all I'm doing. And from that place, I have to be careful about how I think. And that's why I'm really happy that all that negative self-talk, which I was experiencing for the last year, isn't there anymore, because I could be very, very dangerous, at least in my perception, because if I was thinking poor thoughts about myself with the amount of potential here, wow, things could go sideways really fast. Take a breath and say, and remember my name. It's Patricia Cleveland, and welcome to listen to the next episode or the next segment coming up of Isa Logic Radio. I'll be back in a minute. If you only knew the potential you have inside, if you could climb over top of that programmed fear, you would soon open a door that suggests that we have a potential of reshaping everything that we already know. And it's not that all what we already know is bad or it's wrong. But somewhere in there, in the cracks, there's somebody put some things in the network that are distracting us from actually becoming who I think we really are. I think in a way we've been trapped in a bubble. I think written word, I think media like movies, I think social dynamics, politics, all of these things have been put into play to basically distract us, our attention, out and away from the truth. The truth is that we actually have some amazing talents if we would just believe in ourselves. You know, we get pulled into thinking negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts can then come together as a great big cluster. And that creates social dynamics. And yet the social dynamics seems to neutralize the original intent or the original question. Like, I have questions. I'm not a big money man, game player, business person, pusher and shover in the stock market. I don't understand why we have a national debt. I don't understand why people don't stop and say, hey, if the banks can go out there and lend $10 for every one that they print, and that money doesn't exist, then how do we have a debt? But you see, we're programmed. The reality is we have this debt. And how dare somebody ask the question of, well, how can you have a debt if there's no money in existence either to lend or to actually pay the debt back with? It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a magic trick. The sorcerers at the top of the tree twist the words of man, reshape the intent, redirect our desire, and use us against each other every day. Yep. They do the same thing with animals. They're nothing but pawns. They're disposable. Gotta get the pet out of your house. Yeah. Gotta make sure that the vet has to conform to the written word, the law. Yeah. The insanity of it all. If you step back and you actually look at how silly human society has become, you will sympathize very much with the animals. And it's not the, oh, I feel so sorry for the wild Mustang for what's happening to them, and I'm going to go out there and rescue them. No, it's not that. It's understanding the network and the dynamics and the interstructure that nature plays a role in shaping how we interact with our animals and how we interact with each other. You see, we come into this world completely twisted. And as you come down the chute from the creative pool, the source, the ultimate energy, wherever you see yourself coming from, and you're pulled down in that spark of orgasmic creation between your parents, and you come down, and there is this goo. It's dark and it's heavy. And as the spark of your life comes in, some of that darkness, perhaps it's why the Bible defines people as evil, that sticks to us, and it follows us, and it's the shadow through life. And somewhere, somebody put that magic spell, an energy boundary around who we are and around the earth. And you see, that is something we don't talk about. It's good you're listening to this show and you're energetically involved. But you go out and talk to your friends about this. If you actually went out and started as a group talking, would you shift the paradigm? Would you shift the dynamics of your apartment? Would you shift the dynamics of the people on the street? If there was enough of you that had the experience, do you know how empowered you are? And it's not about politics and money. It's just getting down to being real, to be still. You see, I work with animals, and they taught me a long time ago to work with energy. You have to be still. When you're still, you can go between the cracks. I can walk through a group of people of varying religious beliefs, cultural backgrounds, political ideas, and education. And because I stay still, I'm able to feel where I fit in that person's world, in their conversation. Or maybe I don't. But I don't have to disempower that person with my presence. I just say, okay, that's where that person is. You see, right now, without the negative self-talk, without the thing that's locking me and saying, oh, you only can work in the physical, biochemical way of making food for an animal. It's the only way I can work with animals, without that limitation. You can bring in some of the most amazing opportunities. I was once down in Perry, Florida, and I met this lady. I was working with her horse, and the horse was crippled. I mean, he was so sore and twisted, and he had what they call horseshoes on. They kind of work as a cast to hold the horse's shape, the foot, on a certain angle to help the animal mechanically walk better. At least that's the theory. And I was working with this lady, and all of a sudden the clouds opened up, and it was just like one of those pictures on a religious postcard where the streams of the sunlight break through and radiate down through the clouds. And they shone not on the field next door, but they actually shone on this lady's horse and the lady. Now, whether I'm crazy or I'm not, I will tell you, when this happened, behind the lady, I was able to see this gray shape. It was an image standing behind her. And after I'd worked on her horse, we sat down and we had a good visit because I just needed a break before I did my long drive home. And she started telling me things. And I said, okay, well, listen, let me help you out. And so I went and I did what we call cellular retracing. And I took her back. I walked her back through her life. I let her experience her pain. I let her take her pain and understand who gave it to her. And I allowed her to understand why that person did that act. Why was it important for that infection of pain to be transferred into her? It was destroying her life. She was alcoholic, and she was struggling very badly to try and keep a family together. And as we worked, her energy changed. And I felt my job was done, and I got in my car, and I started driving home. Now, I'd had a long day, because when you work with people that are in need like that, they tend to want to tap into who I am and borrow some of who I am, my energy, maybe my inspirational thought, to hold themselves back up together, because, you see, their bodies are drained, their battery's low, and that they get energetically or psychologically or socially hacked. And in that drive home, I felt that she had tapped into me and she was pulling me away. And in this moment, I went, wow. I started hearing the negative voice. And before I know it, I'm starting to feel negative. And in this place, it got really heavy and scary. And I'm going to take a break here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. This is Esologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. I got you thinking? Have you got your own experiences? Do you know where and what your life is about? Or how you can change it? How to hold your animals close to you? Oh, just think. They work as your grounding cord. They show you maybe you have the potential to love, to hold compassion. And maybe in that state you can change your world. Because everything I'm going to tell you today is fact. It's not fiction. And somewhere out there I can pull up a study in science that says, hey, guess what? This is real. Or, hey, go look at your newspaper. See what's going on in your government. And go back 5 years and see where they were before. There's all these tricks that's going on. So, anyway, to get back to my trip home from Perry, Georgia. I'm driving, and it's really dark. And in the south, I don't know why it is this way. But when you go through certain areas, there's like energy vortexes. And when you go through them at night, it's like the black is as black as velvet. There's so dense. I just don't know how to describe it. Anyway, I'm driving home. And this voice starts telling me, oh, you're not very good. Oh, you're this, you're that, whatever. And the further I drive, the tighter I become, and the more negative this voice is. I thought, wait a minute, I think I got hacked. Oh, wow, what do I do? This is getting pretty intense. I mean, when you're driving along, and in your mind, you have something telling you that life isn't worth living, and really, you have the best opportunity right now to end it by just pointing your vehicle at a telephone pole and driving as fast as you can. Where does that come from? Whose voice is that? It's certainly not mine. What are you doing in my space? And I don't know how to explain the desperation that comes over me when I experience other people's desperation. But it's not a good place. And a lot of people run into this. You may come home from work and say, I just can't deal with this. Or, you know, I've got a house full of kids and they're not listening to me and this is just getting too much. Or I'm financially in the hole and nobody seems to care. I need help. Help. Take a moment. And if you have one of those iPhones or cell phones with a tape recorder, the next time you hear your negative voice, next time you say, I can't do something, and it doesn't really make sense because the world is here to hold each other up, to support each other. Play your thoughts, say them out loud, say them. And say them into the tape recording on your phone. And then, immediately after you've done that, turn around and play it back. And listen to yourself and be still. Because what that will do is it's kind of like is attracted to like. In my case, driving home at night, I did that. And it was just as if somebody flipped a switch and all the lights went on in the house. In that moment of hearing my negative self-talk, whatever was trying to tap into who I was, am, and will be, left, gone, has never come back. So you see, we can each be victimized, not only by the stuff we hear on TV, or being around people who really are struggling and take on their concern. We can get hacked. I've been hacked by animals. It starts to make you almost become obsessive compulsive. I've got to do this for the animal. I've got to do that for the animal. Da, 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 da. I have to have this feed routine. I have to take it to the vet. I have to. Because all of a sudden, that animal is more important than me. That animal holds the value of a missing child. That animal, in his state of anger, or maybe his state of need, tapped into your weakness, your need to have unconditional love. Because you see, we always reach out to our animals for unconditional love. But we're not stepping in and saying, unconditional love can be found within. And so you can get hacked by your animal. And it becomes an obsession. But you know what? If you just did whatever you wanted to do through the day, and yes, you made it possible that your dog had food and water, and you went out and played ball, but it didn't have to happen on the exact same time every day. Do you know that you release your animal, you create a freedom for them to be? They stop badgering you. They stop the addicted behavior. They still love you. Matter of fact, they love you even more. They're not in a codependent energetic relationship. A lot of us are in codependent relationships, not based on I'm facilitating giving you a drug or I'm feeding you. We're in a codependent relationship based on energy. And so this takes everything that you know, say, about psychology or human behavior, and just take away the physical dynamics and plug in energy. Because you see, the energy is what drives the emotion. The rate of vibration that your body is at determines the state of emotion that you will emit to the people around you. That's a proven fact. If you go in and study essential oils, the different vibrational rate of essential oils helps to elevate people who are sick or may have a liver problem or may be in a state of depression. The vibration, the energy that's held in the food that you eat, helps to shape the emotional vibration that your body can transmit or receive in its environment. The same thing with your animals. So when you have an animal full of vaccines and drugs and genetically modified food, do you think he's going to be able to work at his most efficient state? No, because he cannot absorb the energy from the environment and run it through his network, his internal electrical system. For those in medicine, you want to call it your nervous system. For those in acupuncture, your meridian systems. For chiropractics, your structures and nerves. Without having the right energy being vibrated through your body, you create a paradigm for the existence of your life. It's pretty cool thoughts. For me, I'm having fun exploring the energy that I can pull through my body right now. Take a breath. Hold yourself close. Say, I love you. Be compassionate. Spread the word. And keep listening to Isologic Radio. I'll be back. What a way to go. Enjoying life. Taking a few minutes every day for yourself. Breathe in. Pretend your air is the food. Go stand by a tree. Breathe in. You see, trees produce most amazing air. Yes. And you go up and hug a tree, and you think you're just hugging the bark of that tree. And you think the tree's life is actually inside the wood of the tree. Here's a shocker. The life of the tree is not inside the tree. Only the water that comes up from the ground runs through the fibers of the tree. The wood that we cut and make into furniture or put in the fireplace to create heat. That's dead. That's dead tree parts. So where's the life of the tree? Well, the water inside the tree, it's kind of like the battery. It vibrates and it holds the frequencies that keep the tree as a structure. But the actual living part of the tree is what wraps around it, like the skin of our body. The bark is the living organism called the tree. So when you talk to a tree, don't worry about talking to the heart of the tree. Talk to the bark. Yes, the bark is the living wood of the tree. And as the tree gets older, layers of that bark bind in and help carry the water up to where the branches are and out to the leaves. It's a very powerful mechanism. Inside the tree, it's just old bark. It's a pumping system, just like our heart. It works off the magnetic field of the earth that beats about every 8 seconds. And then there's the light from the sun. And that pulls energy into the tree. And that is what drives the pumping action of the tree. Just like us, our heart pumps our blood. Our heart is in rhythm with the beat of the earth. And the energy that we take in from the air and the sunlight, the laughter, the sounds, that's what keeps us charged, awake, alive. And it doesn't really matter where you are on the planet. These same systems work regardless. And it's interesting to think that a tree is upright just like human beings. And we're not dead inside, we're quite alive. Or maybe we are hollow. Yes, maybe we are hollow and we just fill up with energy. It's a very interesting world we live in. You see, I have really abstract thoughts. And they're totally channeled. They're not something that's artificially induced. They just pop into my mind and say, hey, think about this. Research this. Learn. There's nothing stopping you from learning. And when you learn, go out and experience. And fill up your day. Anyway, all's good. Take in the breath. Fill up your lungs as if you're eating food. And understand that we're just physical form of vibrating light that fills up space, that holds the foreign idea of thoughts. And we have no idea where those thoughts come from. But if we listen to the ones that come from the heart, we get rid of the negative ideas that I think are part of that magic spell that bind us into the physical form. And if we actually listen inside, we can touch the hearts of our animals. And someday, I hope enough of you reach out and touch me and say, hey, I'm really interested in what you're talking about, because I would love to teach you guys a workshop. Come and spend a weekend and let me open up your heart. Let me open up the doors and send you the signs to say, hey, this is my reality and it might work for me, but here's some tools. Go out and play and find out about yourself. Because you see, once you understand, there's nothing to be afraid of. And all life is one great big experience. It's a playground. Don't take it too seriously. If you're going to lose your house, let go of it. If you have no money, understand that money is only money and only holds power to those who assign power to it. But within yourself, you hold a quality that somebody else will value. And with that value of who you are, your gift, you will be able to help somebody. And by helping them, they again will return to you what you desire. So take a breath. And think, hey, maybe there's something to what this woman on the radio is saying. Look at your government. Figure out the game that's going on there. It's not politics at all. No. Go to the grocery store and just buy the things in the fruit and vegetable department. And if you eat meat, fine. Go find something organic. In my 20 days of fasting, I learned that when I took a taste of meat, within 2 hours, those little negative voices started creeping back in. And I had to sit down, say, hey, when I eat that piece of meat, am I taking on the pain and sorrow of the animal that it came from? And as an energetically aware person, maybe that's what creates part of the shadow that follows you through life. All these thoughts. If one rings true for you, use it. If they challenge what you think, good. Think. Become brave. Step out. Use your internet. Ask your friends. Go to the bookstore. Read. Find something that is valuable to help you find a way to help the world change. You see, I change the lives of animals, and I do it very simply, in such a simple way that people don't quite grasp. But it's very old. It's based in shamanic traditions. And all I've done is gone back and used shamanic wisdom and validated it using the very laws of science that people need to say, oh, that's real. Real. Yeah. If you want to help today, just sit still for a moment. Take a breath. Think about the word compassion. And as you do that, put your two hands together and feel the heat in the palms of your hand. And know that that's your energy. That's your energy going through the chakras of the palms of your hand. And one palm will receive energy and the other sends energy. And when you put your hands together, press them hard and say, I wish to clear my body of the pain. I wish to clear the body of the fear. I wish to hold in my energy to complete the holes, the wounds, the scrapes, the states of disease. And when you hold your palms together and stay still in your state of compassionate heart, you make a closed circuit because now your hands are radiating energy within your own self. Try it. Do it every day. And after you've opened your palms, touch your animal and do the same thing. Touch them with a compassionate heart. I've got to go now. I hope you've had a good day. Stay in touch. Send me an email at esologicradio@gmail.com and let me know your thoughts. I'm gone. It's Patricia Cleveland. Bye for now.